From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ugrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, April 27th, 2026. Environmental advocates say they are dismayed by Governor Janet Mills' veto of a temporary ban of large data centers in the state. But despite the veto, data centers may continue to be a potent political issue in Maine. Peter McGuire reports.
Sarah Woodbury says the data center pause has quickly become an animating issue for members of her group, Maine Conservation Voters. And she expects to hear more about the issue from political campaigns this year.
This is not just like a quote unquote left wing issue. This is, I think, something that across the board in a bipartisan manner, folks are concerned about the impacts on their communities.
The bill would have stopped data center construction for 18 months while the state developed specific regulations. Mills says she vetoed the measure because it would have blocked the redevelopment of a former paper mill in Jay. Lawmakers return to Augusta on Wednesday to consider overriding Mills' vetoes this session. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
A political action committee created to help Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins win re-election is spending nearly $2 million attacking Democratic challenger Graham Plattner. Steve Missler has more.
The Pine Tree Results Pack ads against Plattner come with more than a month left before the Democratic primary between him, Governor Janet Mills, and David Costello. The timing is noteworthy because Mills has largely stopped running ads in the contest, and polls show she's struggling to gain ground against Plattner. So far, no Democratic-aligned super PAC has come to her aid. Pine Tree Results has amassed more than $12 million in contributions from an array of wealthy donors, including Blackstone CEO Steven Schwartzman, New Balance CEO James Davis, and Palantir CEO Alex Karp. The committee is effectively a rebrand of the 1820 PAC that spent heavily to assist Collins' re-election 6 years ago. The Republican is seeking her sixth term in November and has no primary opponent. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
For the first time in its history, the labor union representing most state employees endorsed a first choice and a second choice candidate for governor. As Kevin Miller reports, the union is the latest group to change its endorsement strategy based on Maine's use of ranked choice voting.
Mark Brunton, who is the president of the Maine Service Employees Association, SEIU Local 1989, called Troy Jackson, quote, the most pro-labor candidate for governor in Maine in our lifetime, and urged voters to rank him first on their Democratic ballots. But Brunton also called Secretary of State Shanna Bellows a champion for MSEA members and called on voters to rank her second.
We are endorsing both of them because we have two strong pro-worker candidates in this race, and because ranked choice voting gives Maine voters the power to back both of them without splitting our strength.
This could be a sign of a trend in Maine politics. Last week, the Sierra Club recommended that primary voters rank Bellows, Jackson, and Hannah Pingree as their top three preferences on the Democratic ballot, but gave no particular order. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Portland-based InterMed told patients last week that starting next year, it will no longer accept Martin's Point Medicare Advantage plans. In a written statement, InterMed officials say they've raised concerns with Martin's Point in recent years about the structure of its insurance agreement, which makes it more difficult to deliver high-quality care. InterMed says it wants to give the roughly 4,500 affected patients plenty of advance notice. A spokesperson for Martin's Point says the announcement was unexpected and that it will continue to offer Medicare Advantage plans next year and communicate with members about their options. Immigration advocates in Maine say proposed work permit rules from the Trump administration could harm asylum seekers and employers who rely on them. The new regulations would suspend the issuance of new work permits until processing times fall to 6 months or less, which the Trump administration says could take decades. Ruben Torres with the Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition says that would have serious economic consequences.
We currently rely on a lot of immigrants to backfill key industries, especially in healthcare, aquaculture, tourism.
The Maine State Chamber of Commerce has also raised concerns in a public comment that the regulations could destabilize workers and employers by giving officials broad discretion to deny work permit renewals. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree was on Capitol Hill this morning, rallying to amend a draft farm bill by removing language she says helps shield pesticide companies from lawsuits. Pingree, a Democrat, says allowing protections for pesticide companies goes against the Make America Healthy Again movement the Republicans have championed.
Any farm bill that protects chemical companies over American families is not pro-farmer. It's not pro-health. It's not pro-America. It is a giveaway to big chemical.
Yeah. Pingree's amendment has bipartisan support from Kentucky Republican Congressman Thomas Massie. The rally took place just before the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on lawsuits that link the weed killer Roundup to cancer. The Maine Department of Corrections announced today that the state is joining a national effort to break the cycles of reincarceration, homelessness, unemployment, and hospitalization for people leaving prison. Known as the National Reentry 2030 Initiative, the goal is to reduce recidivism by 30% over the next 5 years. Corrections Commissioner Randy Liberty says the partners, including the Maine Department of Labor, will focus on expanding access to employment, housing, and behavioral health services.
We know that in the state of Maine and nationally, people are incarcerated. That are incarcerated have mental health issues. They have housing issues. They have substance use disorder, come from backgrounds of poverty and neglect. And this is our opportunity to assist those 800 individuals released annually from the Maine Department of Corrections to be successful upon the outside.
According to Reentry 2030's website, states that are part of the initiative receive direct assistance from a network of national experts and have taken steps such as expansion of Medicaid coverage, building transitional housing, and establishing statewide reentry councils. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, why people like to fish. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.